right, everybody. We are back.
Yeah.
We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. That song was Rain King by the Counting Crows. And love that song.
I might have to put that CD in my car.
I hear you.
Maybe I'll bring it in the house.
Well, Counting Crows, I've always loved. But then we saw them in concert, and I was so disappointed.
I know.
That was horrible. That was one of the worst concerts I've ever been to.
It wasn't like the CD.
Well, that's the thing. I don't like it when artists, they invite everybody out for a concert. They sell you your ticket, that kind of thing. You're going expecting to hear the songs the way you love them, and then they change them up.
Right.
There were some of the songs that they sang, some of my favorite Counting Crows songs, that now all of a sudden I don't even know what song it is until it's halfway over, and it's like, oh, that's Rain King.
Right.
It's like, what'd you do?
Well,
Don't mess with it.
Write a different song.
Yeah. One of the best concerts or best person to ever see in concert, and unfortunately they passed, is my man, Tom Petty. I saw Tom Petty in concert 4, maybe even 5 times, and you cannot go wrong at a Tom Petty concert. Because if you go, and how many hits does Tom Petty have? A ton of hits. And he plays them just like you know and love them.
Exactly.
That's what the fans want.
And he wrote new songs
that
fans love.
Right.
Don't change the old ones. But like them just the way they are.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm at a Counting Crows concert down at Al Lang Stadium, a great place to see a concert if you're local here in St. Petersburg. But, you know, all of a sudden, I'm two and a half minutes into a song and then recognize it as one of my favorite Counting Crows songs. And it's like, no, don't do that.
Recognize the lyrics, but the music has all been changed.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Didn't like it. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I mentioned it last week, that Steph and I tomorrow afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, are going to be doing a Woodstock 50th anniversary sort of show, right? What are you laughing?
No, I'm laughing because you just played the Wood Songs promo.
Yeah, right.
And I thought you said it wrong.
Oh, did I?
No, you said it right.
Okay, good. Good.
It was me, and I was like, oh, nope.
Anyway, one of the things that we were looking for from the very start of this whole project, this Woodstock anniversary show, is I was looking for somebody that was actually there. I would have loved to have had that person in the studio with Steph and I to do the show with us. I don't know that you could have put on a better show than that, to have somebody that was actually there.
Right.
Well, we don't have that. Now.
But if you know somebody.
If you know somebody and they want to call into the show, I possibly have a lead through my dad for somebody that was there. Hopefully that person will call in. I'm not going to give you the name of that person. It'll be a surprise.
Hopefully. Yeah. But look, if your aunt has told you her whole life that she was at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Have her call.
Yeah.
727-498-0502.
Right.
Have her call tonight.
Yeah. Or if you're feeling wavy gravy and you feel like calling in and faking it, that's cool too.
Right. You know what? There's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow.
See if you can fool us.
So if you start day drinking.
Know. Right.
You know,
we won't know. We weren't there. I was 5. Steph was 2.
Yeah.
We're not going to know the difference.
And my parents were not hippies.
No.
There was no way. I didn't go to my first concert until I was, I think, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to the symphony and to plays.
Boo.
But I had never been to, I guess the symphony is a concert, maybe, but never a real,
for old people.
Real like outdoor concert.
No, look, man, we've gone to see the Tampa Bay Orchestra when they do that Memorial Day thing down at
they used to
Treasure Island.
Yeah, the Symphony on the Beach.
Symphony on the Beach. That was always a gas.
But that outdoor venue is key.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids went to the Symphony on the Beach every year.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, now they do, I believe, more of a...
Rap on the beach?
Progressive type music on the beach. I liked the Symphony on the Beach.
Well, it was fitting.
It was as the sun set right. and whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Preferences.
Yep.
You're not at a concert. I mean, we went to a lot of concerts at the old Ice Palace. Amalie Arena.
Right.
Those were definitely concerts. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but even then, concerts had sort of kind of gone by the wayside. Like when we were teenagers, when I was going to concerts as a teenager, there was a crowd. There was a packed stadium. You know what I mean? Like when you see pictures from back in the day in the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, where you see, here's this small stage surrounded by humanity.
Right.
I've been to concerts like that. Now you go to a concert now and there might be, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people. Maybe.
I don't know.
We went to go see Kiss. Over at the Ice Palace when it was still the Ice Palace, not a big crowd. Aerosmith, not a big. As a matter of fact, Kiss opened up for Aerosmith, not a big crowd.
It was a decent crowd.
They had part of the arena blocked off.
Right.
What about when we went to go see Duran Duran? They could have played in our living room. That's how many people were there. It was small.
Oh, stop! Stop. That's bad.
It was bad.
No, but
the concert was good.
I remember seeing Tom Petty.
Oh yeah,
out in Orange County, at the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Right.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
It was California. The weather was beautiful. Right. Everybody was into it. The place was packed.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about big crowds and music festivals and stuff like that tomorrow on the
ad nauseum.
Yeah, our
3 to 4 hours
Woodstock 50th anniversary show starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on RadioStPete.com. So what's this stuff? We're going to be going into a recession.
What?
Damn it.
Have we recovered from the last one?
I don't know.
Is my question.
I still feel pretty recessed.
Recessed.
Somebody recess me.
Resuscitate me.
Resuscitate me. Right. Resuscitate me.
No, the warning lights are signaling in the red.
Said something like the strongest signals in the last 5 years.
Well, yeah. And
we're heading toward recession.
And look. I see it. Mm. We've been looking for a new house for over a year.
Yep, yep.
And prices have skyrocketed.
Prices are ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. Mm. Now, if you can get that kind of money,
right,
it's time to sell.
Well,
but then where do you live?
Yeah, well, and here's,
because you can't afford rent.
Yeah.
Either.
Well, that's one of the big problems, Steph, is that okay, a lot of times to buy a house, you have to sell the house that you're in. Okay?
Right.
So now would be the time to try to sell your house, even though the prices are high, but now you're going to get a higher price for your house.
Right.
This recession hits. Now we're going to get nothing for our house, but then maybe it all works out. Then the house that we want,
we can afford.
Yeah. So maybe it works itself out.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. But what you don't want to do right now,
right?
Like the kids are looking to buy their first home.
Yeah.
Good luck. I mean, I spent hours.
Well, maybe
online.
Okay. Well, see, they're not going into this having to sell anything.
No.
So maybe the recession is the thing for them.
Because
if it drops the housing prices, maybe that'll work out for them.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, are they going to be able to borrow enough money?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
does the recession not affect the amount of money you can borrow?
No. No. All
right. Well, then shoot. Maybe that's a good thing.
Right now.
Come on, recession.
Right now, what their price point is a good price point. I mean, as far as their purchasing power.
What they want, right.
But what is on the market at that price point is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, garbage.
Well, it's the same thing right now where the house prices are high. You know, look. I'm not going to pay almost $400,000 for a house that is, you know, 35, 40 years old and is only, you know, 1,300 square feet. Just not going to do it.
Not going to happen.
But that's what the prices are.
That's what the
on Zillow today, you will see 10, 15, 20 houses, all of them anywhere from 900 square feet all the way up to 1,700 square feet, all of them starting in the range of about $350,000. And I saw one today that was 1,400 square feet for $650,000. I was like, are you out of your mind?
Is it made of gold?
And it wasn't all water.
Is it made of gold? No. You know, it's the affordable housing. And housing is, I think, part of the issue.
Right.
Tariffs are not helping. I got my 401k email today.
Right.
And anyway, it's down, needless to say. Luckily, I'm not looking.
Well, if yours is down, then mine's down too.
Yours is down.
We're broke.
No, we're not broke.
We're just not ever going to be able to retire.
It just can't keep doing this. Mm. And yes, we've seen excessive gains.
Yeah.
On the 401k and our housing and, you know, the investments that we have, but they're not true.
So what's the deal? So the recession hits and then prices for other things like gasoline go up. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If the prices of houses goes down, then why wouldn't gasoline prices go down?
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. They have to make up the money somewhere.
Yeah.
And by they, I believe
them, it's not us.
Them. Mm-hmm. You know, and we saw this with the last recession, where when property values tanked, property taxes stayed high.
Yeah.
For a year or two. I mean, you were still paying taxes on a much elevated price point than what you could sell your house for.
Is there any benefit to a recession? I mean, is it? I mean, could it be considered a reset?
It is a reset to reality.
Yeah. All right.
Which, like, for the kids buying their first home,
right?
Great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely great. Because what they can buy now, their buying power now, is diminished.
Yeah.
But a recession will put things back in line where the first-time home buyer can come in and actually buy decent, affordable living. And that works.
Well, you see examples of it all the time, especially if you're in the market for a house, if you're going on like Zillow every day and you go into the tax history of the house or
the
sales history, you see like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years ago that they purchased this house for like $200,000 or a little over $200,000. They slapped a little lipstick on it, put a $5,000 kitchen in it, and now all of a sudden they want almost $500,000.
Exactly.
You know,
and I think that's part of what's spurring.
Still the same house.
What's spurring this correction, we'll call it. I won't call it a full-blown recession yet. But the correction is people being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid this much. This is what I put into it.
Yeah.
And yes, I want to make money.
Sure. I get that. I'm not opposed to people making money.
Making money. But no, you don't get to make $200,000
right.
in 6 months. Mm. The best example, there's one house in particular that I was looking at. They're looking at between their purchase price and what from the pictures they've put into it.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at $500,000 profit.
Right.
You know, those are the people that cause problems, in my mind.
Yeah, I think so too. This article also said that this is going to be the inflationary recession. There's no way out, and it's a political disaster for Trump because the recession is going to start before he finishes his term, which means he won't have a second term.
He's already peddling.
Yeah.
He's already spin doctoring it into it's the fake news.
Well, it won't be his fault.
Trying to get Democrats elected. Mm-hmm. I saw that today.
Yeah.
That the recession is all about fake news.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my 401k is not fake news.
But then
news.
Again, it's real easy. It's in my mind. You know, when you have a certain amount of money, you know, you start hearing about recession and you start looking at the ways that it's going to affect your life. When you are a billionaire, bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. I got enough. It's not going to affect me one way or the other.
Not one way.
Just
or
like
no.
Everything else when you're a billionaire. Oh, I'm arrested? Really?
Yeah.
How much money is it going to take to get me out of this?
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair.
Oh, wait, but I'm arrested and I'm a pedophile and you have proof? Maybe I should kill myself.
Well, just don't tell the Clintons. They'll get you.
Yeah.
They'll get you. Evil.
Evil. There are evil people. Now, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bill Clinton picture.
Yeah.
Of him in the blue dress with the red shoes.
Yeah.
If Bill Clinton did story time.
Yes.
In the blue dress and red shoes.
Right.
He'd sell out a stadium of 200,000 people.
Right. But, I mean, he already makes an exorbitant amount of money speaking. He's like one of those motivational speakers.
Right.
You know, he makes a ton of money. Can you imagine going and speaking for an hour and them just, you know, stroking you a check for $50,000 or $100,000?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Really?
We do this for two every Friday.
We don't get nothing. Nothing.
Volunteer.
We can't even get a phone call.
Right.
727-498-0502. Or you can shoot us a tweet.
Or send us a check.
Marco Radio Show 1.
Direct message me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Marco Radio Show 1.
Yeah. So this is kind of a ballsy move, and I really kind of dig it. Have you heard about the Democratic presidential candidate, Julian Castro?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know that the news organization that Trump loves is Fox News.
Yes.
Okay. So Julian Castro basically bought an ad that slams Trump about the whole El Paso shooting. Basically, the ad says that in the 30-second clip, Castro says, "President Trump, you referred to countries as shitholes. You urged American congresswomen to go back to where they came from. You called immigrants rapists. As we saw in El Paso, Americans were killed because you stoked the fire of racists. Innocent people were shot down because they look different from you because, wait a minute. From you, right? Because they look like me, they look like my family. Words have consequences. Ya basta.
Ah.
Ya basta. And apparently, ya basta translates to enough, not you bastard.
I like it though.
Ya basta. Y A B A S T A. Ya basta.
And I'm sorry, if I was a political candidate, yes, I'm going to advertise on the news network.
Well, this guy, this Castro, went even farther. He decided that he was going to run his 30-second commercial in I think, Connecticut, where he... Bedminster, New Jersey, where he knew Trump was going to be playing golf that weekend.
Do you think he saw it?
Well,
maybe.
He's all over Fox News. You know what I mean? And then I saw something interesting today that said somebody is predicting that Fox News is going to turn on Trump.
Oh, they've already
started.
Yeah.
You've seen a little bit of that. And once they turn on him, those people, in my mind, I can't even stand watching those people. I mean, to me, if
those people.
Well, and that's, yeah, there I am. Look, I'm just as bad as him.
Yeah.
I think that the commentators that they have on Fox News are just, I think they're despicable. I really do.
I think some of their views are very despicable.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not happy with anything that's going on right now in the government as a whole.
In this country as a whole.
Right.
We are all Americans. Mm-hmm. We all live, work here.
Yeah.
This is our home.
Right.
We all belong here.
Yeah.
And we need to make things right.
Well, it's very divided right now.
It is very divided right now.
I don't see where it's getting any better anytime soon.
And the biggest division is between the, quote, upper class.
Right.
You know, Amazon and, you know, not to call out names, but Amazon, Sam's Club, Walmart. You know, why are individual people becoming multi-billionaires?
Right.
While the rest of the country who works to pay the bills gets poorer and poorer and poorer.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's where the true divide is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to stop.
Yep. Soapbox. That's okay. We were just talking about an advertisement. Here's an advertisement. And this is something that U.S. officials plan to use searing images in attempt to make smokers break the habit. U.S. Health officials are making a new attempt at adding graphic images to cigarette packages to discourage Americans from lighting up. If successful, it would be the first change to U.S. cigarette warnings in 35 years.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, here's the thing. Have you seen what they're planning on putting on these packages?
Oh, I've seen them.
Pictures of, and they're in color.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a little, you know, this could cause, you know, lung cancer or anything like that. It's like half of the the package, and it shows like this, a kid, you know, on a ventilator, a guy's chest with a big heart surgery scar, you know.
You know what?
What?
To me...
Mm-hmm.
The fear-mongering doesn't work. It's like telling me I need to take a pill because, you know, I get the hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
It won't discourage me.
Right.
Because I don't play into the fear-mongering.
No.
In fact, I'll probably smoke more. Just to see the gory images.
Don't do that.
I'm just saying. Not a fan of the fear monger. Well, make me feel better about myself.
Well, they're not going to try to make you feel better about yourself on a cigarette package. Hey, have a good day. Enjoy your smoke.
You know,
I mean, that's an advertisement. That's not a warning. Warnings are supposed to make you be fearful. What you're doing to your body and possibly people around you.
And as soon as they put the same graphic pictures on every pill bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
And every beer can and every motor vehicle.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And every cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, fine. Let's live in this world of... negativity and hate.
Right. All right. I get you. I get you. I mean, so
let's just plaster it all with bad shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, have fun with that.
It does look kind of, I mean, kind of ridiculous, but
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if they get to mm-hmm. post that,
yeah.
How many people? They need to have statistics. Oh, one in 4 million people get this. Not all of you.
Right.
Which is what they're trying to say. Oh, if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to die like this.
Well, they're not talking about a cigarette. They're talking about a habit, a cigarette smoking habit.
Yeah, and well, then every car needs to have graphic pictures of
accident scenes,
horrific accident scenes, and every cell phone.
When Where would you put that on the back trunk?
When you go to text, right. The first thing you see before you get to text
yeah.
is horrific traffic. Mm. You know, are you driving?
No. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
Come on.
I mean, you're not, if you think that smoking isn't going to harm you, well,
You're wrong.
It's going to harm you.
It is going to harm you.
But there's so
you.
Many things that are going to harm you. I'm not saying now that let's all smoke cigarettes, you know, because it's not a good thing.
It's a crapshoot, though.
Sure.
You know, drink beer.
Right.
Take this pill. Yeah. What's going to kill you?
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody gets out alive.
That's true.
Nobody That's gets out alive.
That's absolutely true.
So quit trying to fearmonger a result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like protesting story time. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your opinion to yourself. Stay in your lane.
Yep. Don't ruin it for me. If I am enjoying this, I know the dangers, but I'm enjoying it and it's legal.
And
then don't try to ruin it for me.
You know, I'll quit smoking, but maybe I'll start shooting meth. Oh, that's better.
I don't recommend that.
Yeah, no, probably not.
don't do that. No.
You know, do the little meth bottles have, like, death pictures on them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No.
I'm just saying.
Inside the meth bottles, they have rotten teeth, and that's how you shake it up. You shake it up, and the teeth rattle around in there.
That's the mixer.
Like a spray paint. Like
uh-huh.
when you do a spray paint, you can hear that thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You get some liquid meth, and it's... Do they make liquid meth? I don't
know. I don't know.
I thought you would know.
Why would you think I know? Just because I smoke cigarettes?
You brought it up.
I'm just saying, of all the habits I could have...
Mm-hmm.
I have one. If you have one, I don't think it's so bad.
No, I mean, you're all right.
You know, I mean, I could trade it. I could overeat. Are they going to put, like, big obese people on ice cream containers and fast food? French fries come with, you know, grotesque pictures of 1,000-pound people.
I get what you're saying.
You know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Fear-mongering. I hate it.
Leave people alone.
Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. I got it. So, are you familiar with the term spurgling?
No.
No?
Sounds gross.
Well, it is kind of gross.
Oh,
not kind of gross. It is gross.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, good. It sounds gross.
Mm-hmm. What is spurgling? Spurgling, S-P-U-R-G-L-I-N-G, and why do experts have concerns about the sperm stealing practice?
Oh my God.
Spurgling.
How desperate have people become?
When Eve, 42, confided in a friend her frustration that her partner was unwilling to start a family, she was completely unprepared for the response. Her friend said you could always put holes in the condom or steal the sperm when he goes to the toilet.
What?
Gross. It might sound outlandish, but according to experts, sperm stealing, or spurgling, as it has been coined, is an actual thing. Although a fairly recent term, before spurgling, the act was commonly known as sperm jacking.
Okay. Are they sperm jacking?
Yeah.
Are they an unwilling donor?
Yes. Here's the definition. Urban Dictionary describes sperm jacking as the term to define the involuntary collection of a man's sperm generally committed by females who desire to have a child with a male with no such desire.
Well, then, man...
Find with, a new dude.
Man with no such desire
right. Should
quit donating sperm.
Mm. Yes. Well, they say that the...
You don't want to have a family? Nip-tuck?
Yeah.
Make it permanent.
Well, they say that spurgling or sperm jacking is on the rise.
I doubt that, because our birth rate is very low.
It is on the low, and that's why people... And that's one of the things that they say is feeding into this whole thing. People are getting desperate. They're thinking, okay, more and more men are deciding not to be a part of the whole family situation. So now women who want to have a family, now they're starting to do all this sperm jacking and spurgling.
Well, you know what? You play the game, it's roulette. It's like Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, a man turned to Reddit for advice after returning from the bathroom to find his girlfriend trying to impregnate herself with the contents of their recently used condom.
That's, like, really gross.
How's that work?
I'm not sure.
Can you picture that?
No. but you know what? Don't
Where are
do,
the protesters now?
Don't do the deed. You don't want your sperm jacked?
Right.
Don't hand it out. Don't be such a whore.
Mm. Yeah, apparently women are becoming so desperate, they are now pretending to be on the pill or purchasing sperm injecting kits online.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Mm. Yeah, just get a different dude. Get one that wants to play the whole, play house.
Yeah, well, the dude shouldn't be playing.
Well, I mean...
Shouldn't be playing.
Well,
that's
but here's the thing: if they're using a condom, he's playing safely, apparently. But according to this, not so safely.
That is not an excuse. Because
these trifling hoes are spurgling.
Yeah, well,
or sperm jacking.
And condoms are not 100%.
No, they're not. And the article did say that there are always some, like, accidents, that kind of thing.
So
some malfunctions in the contraceptive equipment.
If you are so adamant mm-hmm. that you do not want children,
yeah.
Find a new game. Find a new game.
Well, yeah, but...
Or play the game without a donor.
but sex isn't just to have... children.
No.
So you don't have to quit the game.
These guys seem to be very adamant that the end of the game is not what they want.
Well, just because they're wearing a condom?
Nip-tuck.
Well, I mean, that's certainly
Nip-tuck.
One remedy.
I mean, how old are these guys?
Well, I don't know.
You know, are they 18?
Well, I'm assuming that they're of family...
I'm guessing
age.
They're older.
Maybe.
You know, so if that's your preference,
yeah.
Make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, mm-hmm. Pick your poison.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And babies are wonderful.
They are.
Especially when they're grandbabies.
Yeah, they are. And we get our sweet little Millie over here soon. Right after the show, so that's cool. Oh, this story. Oh, my God. What?
Should we take a break?
We can take a break. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll wrap up the show. We are, an hour and 36 minutes into this thing, or 38 minutes? Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. Not too late to give us a call. Just don't call during the song. 727-498-0502. We'll be right back. Will stop the rain.
I don't know.
Damn it.
It's
enough.
It's blowing. It's not really raining very hard.
Right.
But it's just nasty outside.
It's been nasty for a month. It's ugly, gross.
Like a day or two.
Ugly, gross, and wet. It's just horrible.
It's very wet.
That song was Who'll Stop the Who Will Stop the Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival. We'll be hearing them tomorrow, sometime around probably the 2 o'clock hour.
To you with the schedule.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of trying to picture the whole Woodstock 50th anniversary show in my head, trying to put it together. There are 3 days, honey.
We
got to cover 3 days. And I think Creedence Clearwater Revival played on day 2. So I'm thinking probably somewhere around hour or two during our broadcast, you'll be hearing a little Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Nice.
How about that? You know, comedian Jeff Foxworthy, he always says, you may be a redneck if.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I read this article and I said, you may be a failure as a parent if.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So
we're going to fail this one.
I don't think so. I think we're better than this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This has not happened in our family. Not that we could afford it. One teen in India whose parents gave him a BMW was apparently not happy with the car because it was too small and he wanted a Jaguar.
Okay, they should have raised him better.
Well, okay, first of all, you get a brand new BMW and you're going to piss and moan because it's not a Jaguar?
Uh-huh.
All right. All right. First of all, bad parenting right there. And jerk-off kid.
Yeah. You've raised an asshole. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
The teen, whose name is Akash, lives in northern India. Akash allegedly thought the Beamer was too small for him and his friends to hang out in. So what did he do?
He He drove it into a lake.
He drove it into the river.
River.
He sunk a brand new BMW into a river.
You know what, son?
Yeah.
You're walking and you're getting a job and paying for that car.
You know what, son? That's still your car. We're pulling it out and it's still your car.
Yeah, and you're going to pay for it now.
Yeah, right. Police said that the youth was arrogant and kept insisting that he be given a Jaguar as a BMW is too little, da-da-da-da-da. His dad, this is what blows my mind, his dad seems to feel bad he got the wrong car.
Oh, dear Lord. Mm-hmm.
He said that his son told him that he wanted a Jaguar instead of a BMW, but he could only afford the BMW. Are BMWs that much less than Jaguars?
Apparently.
In India, I mean, aren't they? They're both luxury vehicles. I can't imagine that a Jaguar is that much more expensive than a Beamer.
It's just not what he wanted, so he threw a tantrum.
Man, oh man, I just can't even imagine.
I wanted a Porsche.
Mm.
I got a 1971 Cadillac convertible.
Much better.
And loved it.
Yeah, much. Well, and that's the whole thing. Most of us as teens, I mean, we're thrilled to death with whatever we got to give us our freedom.
I got wheels.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that I was driving around in was, I think, a 1970 or 72 Volkswagen Beetle that had no brakes. I thought it was the best car ever.
No brakes. Okay, now safety's kind of important.
I mean, when I ran that thing into the ground, that I'm sure...
or into a tree, no brakes?
Yeah. Then I got a 66 Buick Skylark convertible. It was absolutely beautiful car. Love that car. But I didn't have that very long, unfortunately. I ended up in my teenage years with a 66 Volkswagen Beetle that had been completely redone. It was gorgeous until somebody sideswiped me. And then it wasn't gorgeous anymore. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take much to total a Volkswagen Beetle.
No.
The beer can of cars.
No. That's, I think, one of the biggest reasons I got a 1971 Cadillac.
Right.
I was driving a tank down the road.
Yeah, look, that's not look as a parent, and especially if I have a daughter that's as diminutive as you are, as small as you, I want to put her in the biggest, you know, chunk of iron, rolling iron that I can find.
Well, you and my dad, I looked awesome driving that car.
I bet you did, sitting on your phone books and with the blocks on your feet so you could touch the pedals.
I had pillows behind my back. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, how close were you to the steering wheel?
Probably not as close as I should have been.
Laying back all pimp style?
No, it had...
Leaning over the armrest? Were you the pimp that leans over the armrest or over the window?
Well, no, my back didn't even touch the back of the seat.
You could still put a little lean on. You lean left or right.
No, I was leaning forward, trying to keep close enough to push the pedals.
Should have strapped you to the steering wheel.
Exactly. Mm. Luckily, it didn't have an airbag.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Luckily. But
if I sat back...
Would have blown you into Michigan.
If I sat... Yeah. If I sat back, my feet didn't touch the floor, right. Let alone the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the seat didn't get that close.
Right.
They didn't build Cadillacs for people under 5 feet tall.
No. Mm-mm. Little girl.
I know.
Does anybody really like it when their dog licks them?
No.
I don't.
I'm going to go with no.
No. Look, especially if you have a big dog with a big wet tongue.
Ugh.
To me, that's just disgusting. I mean, I love my dog. I absolutely love my dog, but she knows... That she never tries to give me the big lick. I've seen her give people the big lick.
She does that to me.
She doesn't try to give me the big lick because she knows I don't like it. So she'll come over and just give me a little dab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she knows, which is why it just blows my mind when she decides at your edging, I might add.
Kiss mom up.
Yeah, kiss mom up and mm-hmm. she'll lick my whole face.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about that now is that is not a good thing.
Oh, thank
what,
you.
What about those people, those maniacs that you see that are like tongue kissing their dog?
Ugh.
That is just bizarre behavior.
That's gross.
It truly is bizarre behavior. Can you imagine tongue kissing Tilly?
No.
Oh, my God. Even a little dog. Just
that's just gross.
Look, when I was a kid, my mom had this little toy poodle that spent hours licking her own vagina. Hours.
Hours.
Hours. And you want that dog licking you?
No.
You're going to tongue kiss that dog?
No.
I don't think so. Gross.
You never know where their tongues have been.
Another woman in Ohio.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio.
Yeah, had to have both her hands and legs amputated after acquiring an infection from her dog's saliva, likely after one of her beloved pets licked her.
Ugh.
Mm. Mary Trainer said the start of her dreadful ordeal was when she and her husband returned from a Caribbean holiday earlier this year. She thought she had the flu when she began experiencing nausea and back pain, but when her temperature began to fluctuate, she went to the hospital. There, things quickly got worse. Within hours, she developed sepsis, the body's extreme response to an infection, a life-threatening medical emergency.
Was it the dog or the hospital?
It was the dog.
Says the hospital.
So what they did, as her limbs began to deteriorate because of gangrene, doctors placed Trainer in a medically induced coma, which lasted 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Here's what's frightening. When I opened my eyes, I didn't know where I was, Trainer said. Then I found out everything. It was very hard to find out that they had removed my legs and my arms. Very hard to cope with, she said, fighting back tears.
Okay.
What a horror story that is.
Don't let them do that.
No. Look, man. If I get this sepsis or this bacteria from the dogs, and the bacteria is called Capnocytophaga bacteria.
Again, she was in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
She went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're over blaming the source.
I think they're right on the mark here. It says the bacteria live in the mouths of dogs, cats, and humans. Her doctor suspects that one of her dogs may have licked a small scratch on her arm, leading to blood clots that triggered gangrene or tissue death.
Did she get the scratch on her arm in the Caribbean?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or once she was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. But it says here that because most pets and humans have this bacteria in their mouth all the time, it's not usually a problem if your pet licks you unless you have a weakened immune system.
Exactly.
So she must have had a weakened immune system. Can you imagine being put into a medically induced coma and waking up with no arms and legs?
No.
I mean, come on, man.
Not ever.
I'd be like, all right, now throw me out the window.
Don't.
You've already taken my arms and legs. Now just finish it.
Yeah. No, don't take my arms and legs.
And that sounds terrible. I mean, if you're listening to this show and you are somebody who has no arms and legs and you're trying to make the best of your life, good for you. I don't know that I could do that.
I don't want to do that.
I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to try.
No. No. And please, medical directive.
Well, and here's the thing, too.
If the doctor says to you,
yeah,
all right, well, the only option we have is to remove her arms and legs and we might be able to save her.
Well, you better have that conversation while I'm in that medically induced coma. Because if I hear that conversation, I'm like, no.
No, let the, what
call
else?
Dr. Kevorkian.
What else can you do? Yeah, exactly.
Not doing that.
No, that's doing that it. Is not where I want my life
I'm
to
not
go.
I'm not sure I could deal with missing a finger.
Or a tip.
Yeah, a tip of a finger. You know how freaked out I was when Donnie Bax, my man Donnie Bax, was in here and he lost, almost lost the tip of his finger. I mean, he gave me the willies.
Exactly.
I can't do that.
No, and don't.
No.
Don't.
Don't.
Yucky. No, don't. Don't keep me. Mm-mm. Time to put me away.
Here's kind of a dumb story. This Fresno man, after competing in a taco eating contest at a Grizzlies baseball game, he died.
Oh, no.
Well, here's what the dumb part of the story is that, okay, this guy competes in a taco eating contest at the stadium on Taco Tuesday. Well, the dumb part of the story is they don't tell you how many tacos you have to eat to die. I mean, so it's like, look, man, I think I'm going to enter this contest. I'm pretty sure I can mow down 20, 25 tacos. But if I eat that 26th one, done. How do you know? Why don't they tell us? I mean, shouldn't this story tell us what the limit is? Is there a limit on how many tacos you can eat?
No.
How many tacos do you think you could eat in like 5 minutes?
One?
Oh, my God. I could be through six or seven easily.
Well, that's a death wish right there.
See, I'm the kind of guy that gets in one of these contests and doesn't make it.
Well, that's, I mean, so, the mollycoddling of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were they? We need to wrap up.
Oh, goodness gracious. You're right. I just looked at the time.
I did too.
What are you doing?
But don't mollycoddle America. Know your own limits. Do your own thing. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm.
Do what you do. Quotes. We got to get out of here.
Was it a bad day or was it bad for 5 minutes that you milked all day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or 4 days.
I like this one. I've been saying mucho more often while talking to my Hispanic friends. It means a lot to them.
That's for you, Bill.
If at first you don't succeed, take a second and really look at yourself. Maybe you're not the succeeding type.
Oh, stop.
Oh, this one's bad. Just caught my pecker in my zipper. God, it hurts. No more zip-up boots for me.
You wish.
Judge me when you're perfect. Until then, shut it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like this one, too. I want to add this in. Why is it that when a girl sleeps with a lot of dudes, she's a whore? When a guy does, he's gay.
Right. Collect that sperm. Quick wrap up.
Oh, what about our
quick wrap up song?
What about the promos?
We're out of time.
Well, I think I should
throw song divers out.
I'm going to do the song divers. This is the other promo, song divers promo. This comes on at 9 o'clock after word songs. Listen to this quickly.
Hi, and welcome to Song Divers, an interview podcast about singer songwriters.
We like to go deep in conversation with our favorite musicians in search of honest answers.
What are the ingredients of a great song?
What makes a songwriter tick?
Can a musician make a living these days?
Jason Isbell, overrated.
What?
My name is Stefan.
And this is Ed.
And you're going to love this episode with the Simon and Garfunkel of Pop Funk.
If Simon and Garfunkel were metrosexuals with a sense of humor.
This week's Song Divers Podcast. Tonight at 9 on Radio St. Pete.
All right, everybody. Look, we're the Marco Radio Happy Hour show. Stephanie, do you have anything that you want to add here at the end?
No, we don't have time.
All right, I don't have anything other than Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I miss you, Mom. As a matter of fact, tomorrow would be Mom's birthday.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Catch us tomorrow, Steph and I, at 1 o'clock for our Woodstock 50th anniversary show. And I guess that's it.
That's it.
Good night.
That's it.